The scripture lesson today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 47 through 55. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, this is a little embarrassing, so I'm going to pray first. Dear God, we have heard your words, these familiar words that we hear almost every year from Mary. Lord, help her song be the song in our hearts through this season. Help us to remember about this birth that changes everything. May my words be your words. May my message be your message. Amen. Well, I'm going to grab my Bible because I've lost my sermon. I'm sure it's here somewhere. But it's not right here. And you know, the paper is really just a crutch. Or at least we'll see if that's true or not. But I'm going to keep Mary's words right here in front of me for now. So, you know, we were just singing some Christmas songs, and I was listening to a video clip from another United Methodist pastor who is a wonderful musician, and he was talking about how it's kind of a weird thing we Methodists do that we sing together, but it's a wonderful thing. It unites us. And these songs that we sing during Advent and Christmas are wonderful songs. I'm sure, well, that many of you get, you know, this warm feeling when we sing them. And music has a special role in our lives. This is maybe the first Christmas carol that we're hearing here when Mary starts to say these words, my soul magnifies the Lord. She goes on to kind of sing the first lullaby to the baby Jesus. And we know that children in the womb, unborn children, already can sense audio waves, that they are affected by what they hear, especially their mother's voice. There have been studies that show that when an unborn baby hears its mother's voice, that the fetal heartbeat will actually go down, will calm down. So we know that that happens. And I was thinking about my oldest daughter when I was pregnant with her. My husband and I watched that movie Amadeus, and some of you who are my age might have seen it. It's about Amadeus Mozart, the composer, and his kind of rival in the court, who was Antonio Salieri. Thank you, Salieri. This is why you have the crutch of the sermon. So you look down and see the Italian name, and you can say Salieri. So we saw it, and we noticed that when they came to the part where they were showing, I guess the last aria from the opera Don Giovanni, that the baby was really kicking and moving around. So, and it's kind of unusual. Well, I don't know if it's unusual or not. I don't want to say too much in front of Dale because he knows music. But but it's a baritone and a bass voice that are doing this aria, and so real deep voices, and it's really dramatic because they're getting ready to, the statue is getting ready to push Don Giovanni down to hell where he belongs. And so we got the soundtrack to the movie, and we would play that part, and it always made the baby move around, and we thought, oh, she likes it. she's enjoying it. Now, I will also say that at the same time, I was taking a dance class, and whenever I played the music from the dance class, the baby would always get real calm. And I didn't know if it was because the dancing lulled the baby to sleep or it was the music, but we kind of knew these two things. And then, so when Michelle was born, of course, you know, we wanted to, after she was a few weeks old, we put on the soundtrack to Amadeus, and we got to the part with the aria from the opera, and she squalled. She hated it. She detested it. Us felt really bad. I'd been torturing my baby with this opera. But we know that infants, even before they're born, that they respond to music. Music has a special place for us. And so in the scripture, you know, Mary has heard this announcement from the angel Gabriel that she's going to have a child, even though she's a virgin, even though she's betrothed but not married to Joseph. And this is sort of, well, it is a strange blessing. And so what she does is she goes, she hastens, it says, to go see her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant with a child, a special child, even though Elizabeth is of an advanced age. And she goes, and when Elizabeth's unborn baby hears Mary's voice, it leaps in the womb, hopefully for positive reasons, and but it leaps in the room, and Elizabeth says this to Mary. She says, "And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And she also says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." A lot of blessedness. She's saying how blessed Mary is. But these are strange blessings, right? I mean, for a young, unmarried woman to find out that she's having a child, it is what you might call an inconvenient sort of a blessing. And so when Elizabeth speaks to Mary, Mary responds with this song, this "My soul magnifies the Lord, and surely from now on generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. For his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones." This is her song to her child, to her baby. And it is a strange kind of blessedness. I will confess that I don't do a lot with Twitter. Sometimes I look at Twitter and it makes me mad. But I know a little bit about it. So I thought, well, you know, I'll look up hashtag blessed on Twitter. Figure out what people are thinking about blessings. And if you just went by that hashtag, blessed, you would think that blessing was about being accepted onto a college football team, graduating, celebrating your birthday, celebrating your grandma's birthday, and for at least one person, making a three-point shot in basketball. Or taking a picture of your beautiful vacation locale. But being blessed, at least according to Mary and Elizabeth, is not about our own accomplishments. It's not about what we do, what we achieve, what great things happen to us in our most wonderful and comfortable moments. God's blessing isn't like that. God's blessing is sometimes inconvenient. It's not about success or wealth or prosperity or a great vacation. It's about filling the hungry with good things. It's about lifting up the lowly. It's about sending the rich away empty. That's the kind of blessing that there is. And it is a strange sort of thing. I mean, doesn't God want all good things for us? Well, yes and no. God wants good things for all of us, every one of us, which means any one of us can't have it all. The thing about Mary's song, this first Christmas carol, is that it is subversive. It is not about affirming the rich and the powerful. It is not about affirming those who are in control and continuing them in control. As a matter of fact, when the British Empire was in India, they banned the Magnificat, that's what this is called, that's Latin for magnify, the first line that Mary says. They banned this being read in church because it was too subversive. And during the what they call the bloody war in Argentina from 1976 to 1983, when all of these people, I mean, at least 10,000 and probably more, disappeared conveniently for the government in power, the mothers of the people who disappeared took Mary's words, took the Magnificat, and they papered the plaza of the Capitol with those words in protest. And those words were banned. The government didn't like them. The people in power didn't like them. This is subversive stuff. This says a guy is going to come and he's going to turn the world upside down. He's going to say, blessed are you when you're poor, blessed are you when you are reviled, blessed are you when you are hungry in spirit and in body. Blessed. What an odd kind of blessing. And yet, it's the blessing that we receive. It's the blessing that gives us redemption. Redemption is the blessing. Being remade is the blessing. And so in this season of Advent and Christmas, may you magnify the Lord. Too often we want to turn the binoculars around, look through them, and make God small. Make God something we can control, something like a genie in a bottle that we can rub and say, give me that good vacation, I want to be blessed. But God is bigger than that. So may you magnify the Lord in this season. May you be blessed in the way that God gives blessings, so that though you may be uncomfortable, a little poorer, may you call yourself blessed, for you have received the Messiah, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Amen. I should lose my sermon more often.